Welcome to episode 28 of the Bunt the Gap podcast. I am Dave. I'm joined by Adam.
Hey.
And Sweet Nick on the line. How are you doing, Nick?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Good. Happy Canada Day to all of our Canadian listeners. For those of you not in Canada, that is July 1st when we celebrate the founding of the Dominion of Canada, right? Is that correct, Nick? You're a history buff.
According to my 8th grade history, yeah.
Is it a Dominion?
We were a Dominion, yeah.
We were, yeah.
Oh. Because it was a thing of the crown.
Yeah, we just thought we'd do this explainer for our Japanese listeners and our UK listeners as well.
And for me.
Yeah, that's true. Also, happy birthday to Aaron Sanchez, whose birthday is July 1st.
Cool.
And episode 28 is brought to you by the age of pitcher Chris Smith, who saw his first game, I believe it was the other day.
First major league game.
Yeah, exactly. He hasn't pitched in the majors until this year, so... 28-year-old rookie Chris Smith.
Yeah, not bad.
No. And on that day, June 27th against Baltimore, he did not allow an earned run. He threw 9 strikes out of 13 pitches, so he was pretty good.
Left 100% of his runners on base.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
So Chris Smith is up in the majors because the Blue Jays...
Are bad.
What?
The Jays are bad.
Oh, the Jays are bad. Well, also, they finally cut bait with Jason Grilley.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Yes, exactly. About 2 weeks or so, or maybe it was 4 weeks or so after our Extinguished the Grilley Bunt the Gap episode. I'm not taking credit for anything.
Not to toot our own horn here, but we kind of called it.
Yeah.
He would be cut not long after the promotion.
Yeah, it was about a week after Father's Day. So, Nick, what are your thoughts on Jason Grilley being cut?
Baseball decision wise, it's the right move. He was old. He was not getting better. He didn't have it all season. I mean, you didn't even really see flashes of what you saw last year. Personally, though, I don't love it. I really like Jason Grilley. I thought he was a great personality for the team. I was walking around Canada yesterday at the park, and I saw a couple of ads for promoting fire safety with Jason Grilley on it. So that I get fired up for fire safety, and it just made me even feel worse about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason why they can't bring him in some kind of consulting capacity role, right? Or a bullpen coach or something, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, I actually heard that he was very active in the Jays Care PR. He reached out to them and said, I want to do something for the Jays Care Foundation. So I would actually love to see him be maybe a part of that in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so Jason Grilley finished this year with an ERA of 7... sorry, that's not his ERA. That's his FIP. An ERA of 6.97, a FIP of 7.88, and a WHIP of 1.597. So that's a guy that knows a thing or two about getting burned.
Who are you, Frank Underwood? Nobody says WHIP.
WHIP. I believe that's how it's pronounced. And yesterday on Canada Day, the Blue Jays lost to the Boston Red Sox. So we are recording this on Sunday. Regardless of what happens today, the Blue Jays have lost yet another series. That makes one total series win in June.
That was a 7-1 game?
I believe it was 7-4. Was that Friday night?
Friday night, we lost 7-4.
All right, hold on.
Yesterday?
Give me a hot sec. Yesterday, it was a 7-1 loss against the Boston Red Sox.
Which is fitting, because yesterday's date was 7-1.
Hey, that's not bad.
Unless you're from Europe, and then it was 1-7.
What?
Yeah. Europeans, they do the day first, because day, month, year.
Interesting.
Yeah, not a great day for some of the Blue Jays. Josh Donaldson held hitless. You know, a lot of guys held hitless. Batista, Martin, Donaldson. When those three guys go an entire game without getting... I mean, only Batista got on base all game. So when those three guys at the top of your lineup don't get on base, doesn't bode well for your chances of winning a game.
Yeah. And Nick, you have some banter this week.
Yeah, so the three of us were all at the Friday, June 30th game against the Red Sox, which the Jays end up losing 7-4 in the extra innings.
Yep.
I don't know about you guys, but the atmosphere at the Dome was pretty bad throughout the whole game. I mean, this was a game in which the Jays were leading for the first couple of innings. They didn't surrender the lead till the sixth inning, took it to extras, But the whole time, it felt like we were down 10 runs. Did you get a sense of that?
I didn't. I was actually kind of, I was really invested in the game early on because Marco Estrada, pardon me, as you may recall, was throwing a no-hitter despite having walked like 6 batters at the time and then eventually walking 7 on the night. So,
yeah.
So I was really invested in the game from that point of view. But you could just tell he didn't have it.
No.
Yeah.
And the Blue Jays as a team allowed a franchise high 14 walks for the game.
Yeah, it was a bad game. It was terrible to watch. It was just really bad to watch. The entire game ended up taking 4 hours, 44 minutes.
I went home.
Yeah.
I left.
No, yeah. Like the,
I left you guys.
The Red Sox threw 204 pitches. The Blue Jays threw 241. The pace of play was so slow. It got to the point where I was timing Red Sox pitcher Heath Hembree on his delivery to the plate because it seemed like he was taking a half minute to throw the ball to the plate, and he was.
Oh, so can we talk about this for a second then? Can we just talk about pace of play?
Yes.
Because that game was brutal for that. The atmosphere may be related to the fact that that game was long.
Yeah, not only was it long, but nothing was happening. Like, Estrada had a no-hitter going on, but he walked like 7 batters. There were no balls in play. The game was slow. Yeah. Nothing was happening.
Yeah. And
like, other than a first-inning home run from Justin Smoke, that was like the most exciting thing that happened all game.
Yeah, and we talk about pace of play, and when we say pace of play, we literally mean not how long baseball games are taking, although this one was long in particular, but it's about how long pitchers are taking in between pitches, how long batters are taking in between stepping into the plate, the duration between balls being put in play is going up at a rate of a few seconds every year, which you don't think adds up, but I know the average baseball game is up this year to over 3 hours.
Yeah.
And yeah. I believe Adam at one point reached out to Grant Brisby, writer for
both SB Nation and McCovey Chronicles. Chronicle. You can follow him on Twitter at McCoveyCron. And his article a few months ago was Why Baseball Games Are So Damned Long. You can find that at SB Nation. So he essentially compared a game that took place in 1984 to a game that took place in 2014. And yeah, games are getting longer. So I tweeted at him because I figured he would be the expert on game length, and his reply was, "My dude, I'm in the middle of a 4-hour Giants game, so I don't want to hear it." So,
yeah, I don't blame him. And he's in the same situation, watching 4 hours of terrible baseball.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, I left.
Yeah, it was a slow game. You could feel it in the atmosphere. You could feel it, you know, just the people. It was hard to get excited for that kind of game where, you know, you're waiting on these pitches and then the throw comes in and it's a walk.
All right, so let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Do you blame that guy for starting the wave in the third inning?
I rarely ever blame someone for starting the wave. I mean, but no, this game in particular was boring, and if you're not a baseball fan, it's hard to get excited about a 6-walk no-hitter going into the fifth.
Early wave was justified.
It was justified.
I don't know. Like, and I think part of it is just the team being pretty bad, not playing great, and losing to a division rival. And being it looked like there were two teams from different leagues playing.
Yeah.
The Red Sox looked like a Major League Baseball team, and the Blue Jays didn't look so great.
Well, the Jays just look old.
Yeah.
I think, especially compared to the Red Sox, because the Red Sox are all so young, except for Hanley and Dustin Pedroia. But the Red Sox, you could tell, were running all over the place. They were quick. They were making all the plays. They were getting on base. Like, Jays just paled in comparison that time. And have been since then, I guess, in yesterday's game, too. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back on the Bunt to the Guy podcast. Welcome back to the Bunt to the Gap podcast. So, I have a small game that I want to play with you guys here.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you two names, and you're going to tell me who has the higher wins above replacement at this point in the season.
Okay. Should I close my Fangraphs wins above replacement leaderboard.
You should absolutely do that.
Okay.
Nick, you should also do that too if you do that.
Oh, that would mean, you know, preparing for this podcast, so you can rest assured that I have not.
Okay. So Kendrys Morales or Ian Parmley?
I'm going to say Ian Parmley has a 0.0 wins above replacement, and Kendrys Morales is a negative, so probably Ian Parmley.
And Nick, what do you think?
Zero? Well, I just heard Kendrys is a zero, so I guess I'm going with Mr. Parmley.
I don't think Kendrys is a zero. Kendrys is a negative, I would imagine.
Oh, that's even worse.
So Ian Parmley has negative 0.1 wins above replacement, and Kendrys Morales has negative 0.2.
Recently designated for assignment, Ian Parmley.
So Ian Parmley, higher wins above replacement than Kendrys.
And to be fair, wins above replacement is never generous to designated hitters because they offer no value in the field.
No, and also it's a stat in which you could go down as easily as you can go up, you know. So the more you play, the more chances of going down you have. And Kendrys has played a lot more than Parmley.
Right.
All right, round two. Casey Lawrence or Matt Latos?
I'm going to say Casey Lawrence has the... Wait, are we guessing higher or lower?
You guess the higher one.
Casey Lawrence.
I'm going to say probably Matt Latos because Fangraphs... Are you on the Fangraphs one?
Yeah.
Their WAR is FIP-based, and I feel like Latos just gave up a lot of home runs.
That was a bit of a trick question, so they're both at 0.0 wins above replacement.
Okay.
Last one, give you Jose Bautista or Devin Travis.
Well, Devin Travis is injured and hasn't played in about a month, so I'm going to say Devin Travis.
Yeah, he has actually had a really hot month before he got injured, so I'm going to agree with Dave.
You're both correct. It is Devin Travis at 0.7, and Jose Bautista is currently at 0.5. So that's it for that game.
So fun.
Actually, one last question. Not a higher or lower, but who is the leader on the Jays right now in wins above replacement?
Marcus Stroman.
That's a good guess. I'm going to say it is Ryan Goins.
No. Guys, come on. Really?
It's Marcus Stroman.
It's pretty much the segue to our next segment.
No, it's Marcus Stroman. Don't lie to my face.
It is not Marcus Stroman.
It is absolutely Marcus Stroman.
It is Justin Smoak.
No, it's not.
We're looking at the same thing right now, right?
I don't know what you're looking at.
Fangraphs has him at 1.6, Stroman, and has Smoak at 2.1.
Give me a second here.
Yeah, take your hot second.
Nope. Computer froze. Anyway, so you are correct by Fangraphs standards for WAR. Justin Smoak is beating Marcus Stroman. On Baseball Reference, Marcus Stroman has 2.3 WAR, and Justin Smoak has 2.1. So,
Yeah.
Justin Smoak, best Blue Jay ever.
At least in 2017.
Yeah. Which leads us to our next segment, We Were Wrong.
We're going to take a break on the Bunt of the Gap podcast, and when we come back, we will admit how wrong we were about Justin Smoak.
Welcome back to the Bunt of the Gap podcast. Dave and Sweet Nick spent some time compiling all of the things that we said about Justin Smoak. And we're going to laugh at ourselves after.
Yeah, so let me just preface this by saying this is not even all of the things that we have said about Justin Smoak, but these are just some of the worst things that we've said about Justin Smoak. You know, and it's still 9 minutes long. So some of it had to be cut. There are a few positive things in there, but for the most part, these are the hits from Bunt the Gap's takes on Justin Smoak. Give it a listen.
Hello and welcome to episode 001.
Justin Smoak, they're paying him too much at $4.25 million a year, but that contributes to the payroll, right?
Sure, yeah.
I had to get my shot in at Smoak. 100%. I'm not really a baseball fan. I just pretend to know baseball.
Yeah, you just mostly dislike Cleveland. That's why you're here.
And Justin Smoak.
Episode
002. And let's not forget that the Jays still have Justin Smoak.
Justin Smoak was pretty garbage for the Jays this year. The Justin Smoak component is, here's a guy that probably can't be a full-time first baseman. I don't think he should be facing lefties. He's just not a great switch hitter.
The thing about Smoak is that in 2015, he had good defense.
Yeah, no,
sure. That just fell off the edge of a cliff in 2016, and so he doesn't look like that exciting a prospect to have at first base right now, so.
Episode 004 of the Bunt of the Gap podcast.
So I kind of wanted to look at other Shapiro era signings or personnel moves with respect to barrels.
Okay.
And I noted that extending Justin Smoke halfway through last season, he had 27 barrels in 2015, 22 barrels in 2016.
Yeah.
So he hits the ball hard. Maybe that was a reason why you'd extend Justin Smoke. He was also just coming off a good defensive year, so I'm sure that wasn't the only thing that played into it. But
hello and welcome to episode 006 of the Bunch of the Gap podcast.
You got something?
What we've done is for any of the players who didn't currently have a nickname, we tried to come up with something better for what they have. So Adam came up with some, I came up with some, Nick has some too. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the 25-man roster and try to come up with some good nicknames.
I had Justin Smoke on here.
Okay.
I had two for him.
Okay.
Or
okay. I don't think you can call him either of those things.
I mean, the Big Smoke works. He plays in Toronto. The Big Smoke's apparently a nickname for Toronto that no one ever uses.
There's a Big Smoke burger.
Yeah, it's, I
actually
guess it's
in the Eaton Center. He might own that.
Well, because I don't think he's very good and I don't see what anyone sees in him, I've called him Smoke Screen.
That's good, yeah. Smoke and Mirrors?
Episode 009.
You know what, though? Like, if... Yeah, I wouldn't hate Josh Donaldson at first base or DH.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see him at first base or DH. I still think he has some defensive value.
He'd be like 100 times greater than Justin Smoke.
But it also just what you have doesn't for. Make sense because I don't know if a lot of teams necessarily value Justin Smoke at all. Okay, so we'll see what other moves the Blue Jays make, and hopefully, thank God...
Hopefully, they get rid of Justin Smoke.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
This is episode 10.
Who is older, Ezekiel Carrera or Justin Smoke?
Smoke.
Ezekiel Carrera.
Justin Smoke, born December 5th, 1986.
Yeah, Smoke has nothing going for him. Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Bunt of the Gap podcast.
He also told Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star the following: one of our best teams could be if Justin Smoke is playing first base every day for us. That would give us the most versatility just to have that as an alternative. Projecting Steve to play a good amount of outfield and for Justin to play a good amount of first base, then to have alternatives and flexibility, that would be the best case scenario. Is that the best case scenario?
No.
Never. No, Justin Smoke playing 162 games is never your best case scenario.
Does that terrify you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, by the sounds of it, Justin Smoke is the starting first baseman. And
well, that quote was from Ross Atkins?
Mm-hmm. And Gibbons was also quoted as saying that Justin Smoke will be the starter.
Well, look, it...
So they're both saying that, and my question is, like, are they lying or are they dumb?
I hope they're lying.
So
you can't believe they'd be that wrong about that, right? Like, no one thinks that Justin Smoke playing every day is a good thing for the team.
They're either so wrong or they are super high on Justin Smoke for a reason that befuddles even the smartest of baseball minds. My favorite... I mean, there's a few things that I love about Justin Smoke. Not in a good love, but I love about him as a futile player is that his career batting average, and whatever, say what you want about batting average, his career batting average versus lefties as a right-hander is .223, and his career batting average versus righties as a left-hander
is .223.
Is .223. Oh, sorry. So I guess Fangraphs has updated this since I last checked it. So his versus lefties, he's a .223 hitters. Versus righties, he's a .224 hitter. And so the Blue Jays are going to roll him out every day at first base because there's no platoon advantage to be gained.
Wow.
Let
I mean,
me
this team definitely
Steve
handcuffed
Pierce.
Themselves when they signed Justin Smoke to a 2-year extension.
That was easily the strangest move of the season. Like, say what you will about the Kendrys Morales thing, but the Justin Smoke extension made the least sense to me. While we're still on the Justin Smoke thing, this will eventually end up into some type of post where I believe I just go in on Justin Smoke. So Justin Smoke had 2,316 career plate appearances without a triple. That is the longest of any player to start a career without a triple in MLB history. So now he's up to about 2,800 career plate appearances with one triple. There's only one guy with more plate appearances in history who's only had one triple, and that's Rod Barajas. Justin Smoke, historically bad, can't hit triples, and he's going to be our everyday first baseman. I was going to say the only reason Justin Smoke even got a triple in the first place, he hit a deep fly ball to center field in Fenway Park, and Mookie Betts literally almost decapitated himself on the fence trying to catch it, and he was about unconscious for another second or two lying on the ground, and the ball got away from him, and Justin Smoke got a triple. Had it not been for that, Justin Smoke would have been at about, I don't know, could still be at 2,800 plate appearances without a triple.
Terrible.
Episode 15.
That's awesome. But I feel like that encounter that you just described with Jamie Campbell is going to happen to me one day with Justin Smoke. And it's gonna be, and he'll be like a super nice guy.
Apparently, Justin Smoke is the hardest on himself, as I read today. So
I did read that also. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna remember that.
And in the back of my mind, I was like, I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah.
Being pretty hard on him.
Obviously, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but Justin Smoke blows. So, I mean, I think if you want to keep Pierce's bat in the lineup, and I think you do, then first base makes a whole lot more sense, especially since there's really nothing in front of him except Justin Smoke. And I'd, you know, it'd be nice if Justin Smoke was good.
But wouldn't that be great?
It would be really cool, but I'm not seeing it.
This is episode 16 of the Bunt of the Gap podcast.
If Justin Smoke steals 25 bases, I will legally change my name to Justin Smoke.
It's on.
Okay.
Welcome to episode 21 of the Bunt of the Gap podcast.
Justin Smoke is hitting 172. He's got a 200 on base and a 310 slugging this season. That's worse than Ryan Goins' career against left-handed pitchers. He's just been terrible. He's been a turd out there against right-handed pitcher as a left-handed hitter. It doesn't make sense as to why the Blue Jays keep trotting him out there, and I think maybe some of it is just his stats against lefties are buoying his other stats here, and, you know, John Gibbons is looking at it and saying, oh, like 275. That's the best hitter we got.
Yeah, and also, but who the f*** else do we have?
Literally no one else. That's part of the problem.
But Justin, listen to me, buddy. Go and hit right-handed against right-handed pitches. I don't give a f***. If you can't hit them batting left, why don't you just try the other side? What do you have to lose? It can't be any worse.
Yeah, and episode 22, he has the fourth most hits on the team. That is behind Kevin Pillar, Kendrys Morales, and Justin Smoke, which I think says just about everything for how it's been going for the Blue Jays this season. So if those are your hits leaders, you know things aren't going so well. This is episode 24. It's weird. If you go to the baseball reference page for the Toronto Blue Jays, it seems like everyone is looking at the camera when you go to the top 12 players by WAR, except for Justin Smoke.
He doesn't know where the camera is, man.
And he just looks like he's looking down at somebody's shoes.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Okay, so chances are, guys, we are not good people.
No, we're not.
We weren't very nice to Justin there, were we?
We were not very nice to Justin Smoke, no. And to be fair, he has corrected some of the things that we were critical about him. So he's hitting 400 against left-handed pitchers, and he's hitting 268 against righties. So there's still a gulf there, but even 268 for Justin Smoke standards, not bad. He's hit 17 home runs as a righty. Again, still pretty good.
Yeah, that's miles better than anyone would have predicted, and mostly me.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, even looking at Fangraph's projections for him, you know, Steamer projected him to be 107 WRC plus, and Zips projected him to be 113. He's been 150 this year, well above average. So this has kind of come out of nowhere, basically.
Yeah. Nick, you have anything to add?
He hit another triple this year, didn't he?
He did hit a triple. Yep. That was in the clip. Yep. He has doubled his career triple totals.
Okay. Justin's still leading the team in hits with 83. And thankfully for me, I don't think he's going to get his 25 stolen bases this year because he has none going into the All-Star break next week.
Yeah. And I mean, he's gotten better throughout the year, too. So he had a WRC plus of 109 in March and April, 148 in May, 181 in June, and in July, it's 188. So he continues to get better as the season progresses. So who knows what he'll be by the end of the year.
And how's this for stat? 2,566,181. That's the number of votes Justin Smoke got for first baseman at the All-Star game.
Sorry, repeat that number.
2,566,181 votes.
Damn. If I had to guess off the top of my head, that is more than the attendance of the Jays home games for all of last season.
Interesting. I can easily look this up thanks to the power of the internet.
Let's do it. We had an over-under on this, actually.
In 2017, the Blue Jays have pulled 1,652,107 people at home.
No. Last year.
Oh, last year, I think it touched 4 million, didn't it?
Why do you make me do things like that?
Last year, the Toronto Blue Jays pulled 3,392,299.
Okay. Yeah, I was wrong then.
Yeah, more voters than there was for Justin Smoke.
I won't be right when it comes to Justin Smoke in 2017.
Okay, so hopefully going forward, we are less critical of Justin Smoke, and hopefully he continues to give us reason to not be as critical towards Justin Smoke. Justin, Bunt to the Gap is sorry. We're going to take a break and be back with some trivia after this.
Welcome back to the Bunt to the Gap podcast. Nick, you've got trivia for us.
I do. All right. So this one doesn't stretch back too far to May 3rd, 2016. Who is the only Blue Jay ever to hit a game-tying home run in the ninth and then hit a walk-off home run in extra innings? Was this Edwin Encarnacion, Michael Saunders, Justin Smoke, or Ryan Goins?
I'm going to go with Michael Saunders.
I remember this. This is Justin Smoke.
It absolutely was Justin Smoke. It was May 3rd against the Rangers last year.
And that is fitting, given today's episode content.
Mm-hmm.
All-Star Justin Smoke.
Well, looking at the final All-Star votes, they're not posted the final rosters, but at least the latest tally, it looks like it's going to be Justin Smoke starting for the American League.
Wow. I mean, I guess he's been our best player this year, so he might as well.
Yeah, I mean, here's to, at least one more bright spot on the season other than Justin Smoke. And if not... Well, I mean, we got what we deserved.
You mean we as the Jays or
no,
we
as Bunt to the Gap? No, I'm saying we as Bunt to the Gap. Yes, we as Bunt to the Gap with all the terrible things we once said about Justin Smoke, he is rubbing our faces in.
No, exactly. And for sure, we deserve what we got. And on the other hand, if he starts to the bed, we'll be on him again because that's how we roll.
Say, what have you done for me lately, league?
Well, we'll admit when we're wrong. We'll do that, but we can be critical. Okay.
Okay, one final thing before we close. Again, wishing well to Tim Lala, who is back home in Chicago with his family and who will now be undertaking a long process of rehab and recovery. Again, we encourage you to donate to Biking for Baseball at bikingforbaseball.org and select the Blue Jays when you're making your favorite team, or select the Blue Jays as your favorite team when you're making your donation. So you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and all podcatchers. Please follow us on all social media accounts, Twitter and Instagram at Bunt to the Gap, Facebook, facebook.com/Bunt to the Gap. And please email any questions you'd like for us to answer on air to podcast@BuntToTheGap.com. We will see you next week. Go Blue Jays. Boy, I'm so hungover. I am so hungover. Canada
Day
was
last night?
Long.
You go to Nathan Phillips Square?
I did not go anywhere near Nathan Phillips Square.
Oh, we stayed home. Got drunk.
Good for you.
We had just too many kinds of alcohol.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't need tequila yesterday. Don't know what's Canadian about that.